Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
For 25 years, Stamps.com has made mailing and shipping easy. All you need is a computer and printer. Imagine mailing and shipping right from your desk, anytime. No traffic, no waiting, no hassle. Plus, Stamps.com gives you discounts up to 84%. Sign up for Stamps.com today. Use code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus postage and a digital scale. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Pete Caldero, longtime Yankees reporter and writer for the Bergen Record and the USA Today Network. And we're pleased to welcome him to the show now for the first time. Pete, before we talk specifically about Domingo Germán, what are a few words you would use to describe, say, the last couple weeks for the Yankees?
One is predictable because you know, they've been the same lazy offense and kind of remained in that malaise they've been in. It's been hard to score runs, with this team, and obviously, not having Aaron Judge in their lineup, had affected them greatly. And since he's been back, you can't anticipate that, he's going to be, just the one element that is going to turn things around. They've had a lineup of, highly paid veteran, position players that have performed way under expectations this year. And Stanton, LeMahieu, and Rizzo have been, the biggest of those underachievers. And that has made, scoring runs a nightly struggle for this team.
The Domingo Germán news, especially when it's not been that long since he threw his perfect game, probably sent shockwaves around Major League Baseball. What's your reaction to that news that he's going to be away from the team the rest of the year while he deals with treatment?
Yeah, I mean, first, your emotions and your thoughts go towards, him coming out of this a better person and for himself and his health and his family. And that's number one. His career, has been, dotted with inconsistencies on the mound and some troubles off the field, too. This is a player that had a domestic violence issue that he was suspended 81 games for in 2019. He will not pitch again for the rest of this year. And there's a pretty good chance, or at least there's a chance, he's thrown his last pitch as a Yankee. They still have a year of control with him next year, but you don't know if this incident has, will lead to them severing ties with him, or they give him another chance, or what it looks like, come spring training next year. But I think first and foremost, his teammates and certainly manager Aaron Boone and general manager, Brian Cashman, were concerned enough for the player that, they knew he had to go into some kind of a treatment program. But, if this is the last pitch he's thrown for the Yankees, you look at the broader picture as a very talented pitcher that really never put it together consistently. He had a 5-something ERA after he threw the perfect game. And, I think a lot of us were kind of thinking that, maybe that this is the jumping off point where he could kind of harness all that the talent he has. He
right.
Certainly is capable. He showed it, and he has showed it in the past, but just could never put it together over a season. Injuries had something to do with that too, and now you wonder about his career going forward. Now
Gerrit Cole started and pitched tonight, and they get a win over the Rays, but they've got some ground to make up. So what does this mean for their rotation?
Well, they're getting Nestor Cortes back a little earlier than they expected. He'll pitch Saturday against the Houston Astros. Friday, Luis Severino, who's, you talk about wildly inconsistent. I mean, he's just been, he just hasn't found. In fact, he's looked lost and has pretty much admitted so after his last start in Baltimore. There was a chance that he could have come out of the rotation, maybe even skip the start, go to the bullpen. The state of the Yankees rotation is now that, if Herman was still in this mix, someone was probably going to come out of the starting five rotation when Cortez got back from his strained rotator cuff. But now he's back. Herman is obviously out, and Severino is keeping his turn against Houston. And then there's going to be a lot of attention, paid to that start. I mean, that's a tough lineup to have to turn things around with. He says he's healthy. The velocity shows that, the fastball's there. It's just that his pitch mix and his command and probably his confidence has taken a huge hit here in these 11 or 12 starts he's made for the Yankees in 23. So it's going to be another, attention getter, big start for Severino here against Houston.
Pete Caldera is with us on After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, covers the Yankees for the Bergen Record and the USA Today Network. Just before we move on to more about the Yankees, you mentioned the Astros. They've been the nemesis for the Yanks a few times in this last couple of playoff appearances. What's your reaction to them getting Justin Verlander back at the trade deadline?
Yeah, right back into the New York scene right away this weekend. Yeah, that's going to be something. Obviously, a lot of teams made some big splashes at the trade deadline, and the Yankees were not one of them. But this was one of the few trade deadline periods you can remember that the Yankees weren't actively shopping starting pitching. I mean, their needs were left field, left handed hitting, outfielder preferably. Cody Bellinger would have fit that to a T, and then the Cubs obviously took him off the market the way they've been playing lately. And, they could have used possibly a third baseman, a catcher. They were looking for some relief help, and they did get a reliever, Middleton, from the Chicago White Sox. But, was anything, other than a, maybe a Soto or a Bellinger, going to move the needle for the 2023 Yankees? Probably not. Say a Tommy Pham, certainly could have upgraded the Yankees in the outfield, but they chose to hang on to their prospects or whatever the price point would have been for the Yankees to get a rental player and just fight with the guys that they have. But yeah, I mean, just to spin it back to Verlander, it's going to be really interesting just to see what he says about coming back to New York and the and to be in a town like this where you have the two of the three highest payroll teams or the top two payroll teams in baseball. One just decided to fold up the tent, and the other one, the Yankees, are going to struggle mightily to get just a piece of a wild card here. So what a turn of events it's been in New York in the last 4 months.
No doubt. And I know it doesn't help to say that the Yankees would be first place in the AL Central, even though they're the basement of the AL East. But when you look at this team and see where they are now, early August, what signs of life do you see, or what signs of hope for them to actually make a run to a wild card?
If you want to look at the most optimistic, part of the Yankees is that if their pitching stays healthy now, I mean, they still have a full complement of a five-man rotation that you can send to war and feel good about if they're operating at their norms. And, you start with Gerrit Cole, but they desperately need, Carlos Rodon, after five starts is, coming off the IL, long IL stint. First with the forearm and then a back issue. We have not seen, the Carlos Rodon that, that was commanding $162 million six-year contract in free agency to come to the Bronx. Severino, we talked about, this is at his best as a frontline starter who is, mm-hmm. Pitching like a guy who's, struggling to stay in a rotation, frankly. Getting Nestor Cortez back should help. And he was an all-star last year, but, he struggled this year and probably, pitched with at a bit of a handicap coming out of spring training because he had a groin issue that he kind of tried to pitch his way through, and it might have impacted his mechanics and his command in the first half, and then he winds up on the IL with a shoulder issue. So, but getting him back in the rotation, if he gives you what anything close to what he gave you last year, you got to feel good about that. And their bullpen's been terrific. You trust that if you get a lead late, you'll be able to hold it. It's just the scoring has been a spectacular struggle for this team. And then you just have to hope in these last 2 months that, that these guys either get hot or just frankly, play to their norms. Even Rizzo admitted, the other night in a fit of frustration that if he was just hitting a little bit, how much it would help this club. You watch, a Gerrit Cole lose a 1-0 game in Baltimore. And this is the kind of stuff that's led to them being in the position they are. They haven't had a real leadoff hitter all year. And the middle of their order, certainly without Judge for a spell, but with LeMahieu and Rizzo and Stanton not performing up to standards, that has had a devastating effect on this lineup.
Pete Caldera is with us talking Yankees here on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Do Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman survive this if the Yankees don't make the postseason, in your opinion?
If we're going down the same route where there's not another catastrophic injury to a guy like Judge or pitching staff, and they don't make postseason, this could be the year where a manager or a GM pays for their job or let's go back a bit. Hal Steinbrenner has basically had control of this team since 2010. He is not George Steinbrenner, his father.
Right.
He's had a very good working relationship with Cashman. This is the only, baseball ops head that he has known or dealt with on a daily basis for over a decade. And he's grown to trust him implicitly and his opinions and the baseball lieutenants that Cashman surrounds himself with. So, does that relationship change with a failed playoff year with the payroll they have and what they did to spend for Judge and Rodon and Rizzo last offseason? Hard to say. I would still think that relationship is pretty rock solid. And then you go to the manager. In the past, when the Yankees have changed managers, and they change managers infrequently in the Cashman era, those have been decisions that have been made by Cashman and taken to ownership and for approval. And it happened with Joe Torre and it happened with Joe Girardi. Does it happen with Aaron Boone? Possibly. But it hasn't happened yet. And they have had championship caliber rosters that have not made it past the American League Championship Series or have suffered worse fates than not even getting to the ALCS. So hard to say, but I would think though that the possibility of a managing change, if this stays the way it is, greater now than it probably in any other year with Boone at the helm, because of it's New York, and maybe 6 years and this is the tipping point here, but
right.
Yeah, it's not trending in the right direction, put it that way.
Gotcha. Pete, before I let you go, it's clear that the AL East is the best division in baseball. Every team is above 500. The Orioles and the Rays right now are sitting on 66 wins apiece. The Blue Jays have 60, and they're 6.5 games back of the O's in the division. It's crazy how good this division is. So, of course, that matters when we're talking about the Yankees, because they are still a club above 500. What do you think of the Orioles and the Rays at the top right now?
Certainly have a lot of talent and staying power, and all those teams that you mentioned helped themselves at the deadline. Even the Orioles, who didn't make any real dramatic moves in the off season, coming off a surprising year when they got into contention, now have positioned themselves to where you like their chances against Tampa Bay and Toronto and to some extent, obviously the Yankees and the Red Sox. You look at Toronto's team though, top to bottom, the talent on that roster is superior. And, but you wonder, they haven't fired off wins at the rate of their talent in this year and in past years. I mean, they struggled a bit in the first half, started playing better of late, and you wonder if they've got a run in them to where, you know, their talent alone could sustain them and push them to an AL East championship, or at least a long run after securing a wild card. So I gotta like all their chances, and the Red Sox have been surprising too to be in it when I think we all, as a consensus, thought that this was going to be an automatic last place team and are still in a really good division. But this division has probably, with the one exception being the Yankees, has kind of outperformed maybe their own expectations to this point. It's going to be an interesting run at the end. We have a different schedule now. I mean, we're not you're not playing six series, three home, three away within your division this year with the new scheduling format. It's just a 2-2. So, you're not going to have more of these head-to-head games within the division that, might be a lot more interesting down the stretch. I look at the Yankee schedule. I mean, they finished the year in Kansas City, which is interesting enough. I mean, if they needed a game to get into the postseason or something, they'll be playing their last three games of the year in Kansas City and not at Toronto or Boston or Tampa Bay, where it could be a little more dramatic. But we're all going to watch with interest because these teams are loaded, they're talented, and especially with the in the case of the Rays and the Orioles, to be doing it with two of the lowest payrolls in the game is a real testament to those two franchises and their front offices.
Never a dull moment. So you can follow Pete Caldera on Twitter at Pete Caldera, C-A-L-D-E-R-A. Covers this team now for 20 years. Bergen Record, USA Today Network baseball writer. It's good to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your insight in a couple of minutes, Pete.
Anytime, Amy. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.